Turn to 1 Peter, the 5th chapter. 1 Peter, the 5th chapter is where we're going to be this morning. 1 Peter 5, and I'm going to take two verses again this Sunday. I actually thought of doing taking a little more time than I'm going to, but I'm just going to cover these two verses. We could really stop and reflect and learn some things about our adversary in the next few weeks, but I'm going to do these two. There's a lot more to say than what I can say, believe it or not, in two verses. You guys know that, right? But we hope to touch on the things that will really help us in our thinking and in our actions as well. So 1 Peter 5, I want to look at verses 8 and 9. I'm going to back up to verse 6 because they all connect. It's all part of the same paragraph. It's really under the same thought that is we find in verse 5, where we are to humble ourselves, where God's opposed the proud but gives grace to the humble. Now verse 6, therefore, because God is opposed to the proud and gives grace to the humble, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your care, all your anxiety on him, for he cares for you. We covered that last week. I hope you found yourself this week casting and casting and giving it over to him. It's the right way to go. There's peace there. And then he says this in verse 8, be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. But resist him firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. Loving Heavenly Father, thank you for making known to us that which we otherwise would not know. Thank you for preserving this word for us for this day, this time. Thank you that we can look to your word and see you, and we can see ourselves, and we can see what it is that you desire for us, what it is that you need to speak to us about. And as believers, we have a word before us today that is absolutely essential if we're going to walk in wisdom and if we're going to walk in victory. Thank you, Father, for these people that have come in. I thank you, too, that winter's not going to last forever. And we are grateful to have the hope that is around the corner of spring. Thank you, in this setting, in this day, you've allowed for us to come together to worship. We could have had a storm that was so intense that we could not have, but you've allowed this, and we give you praise for that. Thank you for being able to sing and being able to give, being able to invest in people today. I pray that all who have come through those doors will know this, that you absolutely love them, you care for them, and that you've sent your Son to redeem them. And Father, I'd ask that for those that may not yet understand what it is to know you through faith in Jesus Christ, to know they're forgiven, to know they're secure forevermore, that you would allow them to see that today. For your people, the beloved, who have come to faith in Christ, Father, would you give them this word in such a way as to stir their hearts, to encourage them, to challenge them, to help all of us. And perhaps, Father, as we even look at this, as your spirit would move, we would see there's areas in our lives that need to be thought of differently, need to be confessed before you that, hey, we're on the wrong track here. We need to move back to you. Thank you that you are our God who, whenever someone turns in repentance, you're right there to take them in. Oh, that's so beautiful. We give you praise for that. Father, help the listener, help myself. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Some of you may have heard this, and if you keep up in the news, you might have noticed this, but on February 4th, Travis Kaufman laced up his shoes for a run in the Colorado wilderness at near Horse Tooth Mountain, just west of Fort Collins. I actually have been in that area. Some of you may have. I wasn't jogging, though. As he was jogging, that's what he was doing. He heard a rustling on the pine needles behind him. He stopped and came face to face with a mountain lion. At that moment in time, a rush of adrenaline flowed through his body as the cat stared him down. And that lion, even though a juvenile, had one thing on its mind, lunch. And Travis was on the menu. The lion jumped on Travis, attacked his neck and face, and there ensued a life and death wrestling match. Travis eventually won that. He killed this lion with nothing but his bare hands. Travis was fortunate that winter day. the outcome would have been much different had a couple things happened or not happened. One, he was in great physical shape. In his early 30s, he was a runner. Travis was also fortunate that the lion was small. It was a juvenile. So those things came together, and he was able to get to the hospital. He received treatment, I think over 20 stitches in his face. But Travis never dreamed on that February 4th, as he took a jog in the wilderness, that he would be locked in an epic struggle with a mountain lion, and his body would bear the scars of that encounter for the rest of his life. But that's what he experienced. You know, as followers of Christ, we are in a spiritual battle with, not a mountain lion, but with the devil. And I want to share a number of things from this text that I think can help us. There's a warning to heed. By the way, there's notes on the back of your bulletin if you would like to take notes. But there's a warning to heed, and then there's some actions that occur if we're going to proceed. But this warning to heed, and I want us to think about this for a moment. It's from verse 8, and then it flows right through. So what I'm going to do with these actions that we're called to engage in, I want to just set those aside for a minute, because I want you to see this warning that's given to us. It's in verse 8. Your adversary, the devil, here it is, prowls about like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. That's the warning. That's the warning. God's word is his revelation to us, and it reveals who he is. And here at Bark River Bible Church, we just take it as it is. We believe it. We believe it to be true. And so we believe every verse is essential. And we preach through books. We just do. We don't make no excuses about what's before us. It's there. God has given it to us. But his word reveals that he's creator. He's a sustainer. He's all-knowing and all-powerful. It tells us who we are. That's what God's word does. It says, his word explains that we are sinful. We've fallen short. We've missed the mark. And he's provided a Savior. He's loved us to a degree that is unimaginable and unexplainable, and provided an invitation. He's extended that to us to know him. We can enter into saving relationship and be forgiven through faith in Jesus Christ. His word tells us that. Tells us there's only one way to enter into this relationship with him. I know society tells you something much different, but this is the word of God, and this is what it tells us. One way, through faith in his son. God's word also reveals that we, those who are in Christ, have a high calling and a tremendous privilege as to how we are to live in this world. It's called a worthy walk. We're not going to really get to that today, but that's what God's word reveals to us. There are times, though, that his word issues a rebuke to believers. It calls us back. It challenges us. But he always sets a path of freedom before us as well. He gives us his word, courage for the journey. All that in his word, depending on where you turn, what you see there, what the book is talking about. So here, we noticed last week, he gives us a great word about anxiety, about worry, about fear. What to do with it? Cast your care, your anxiety, your fears, your worry on him. Oh, it's so beautiful. It gives us courage for the journey. But we are to humble ourselves and do that. And we note in doing that that he cares for us. God absolutely does. We are his children. We're beloved. He cares for us. Today, as we look into this scripture, God is giving us a warning. It's a warning. It's a heads up. It's a reality of the enemy and what he seeks to do and how we are to respond in order to have victory. That's what's before us today. I want to start with this warning that he gives and go on to the responses that we are to have as this battle unfolds before us and as we engage in it. Verse 8, Peter describes someone here. He describes your adversary. He says, be of sober spirit, be on alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Adversary means enemy. And it's translated that way in the NIV. He is the devil. Devil refers to someone who slanders. Peter identifies who it is that seeks to devour us, and in doing so, allows us to see that we have a real enemy who is on the prowl. You may think that you live life with little opposition, and maybe you do from others. Maybe that's your experience as a Christian. But you will never live life as a believer without someone who hates you, someone who wants to destroy and devour you, and that is the devil. This is a real battle. It is significant that we understand that it is before us. So you have an adversary. Notice Peter writes, your adversary. You have one. You and I have an adversary, and he's seeking to devour. So he's on the prowl. Let that sink in. It's a reality of living in a fallen world where the glory of Christ is at stake, where the devil wants is your adversary. Now, there's a lot of scriptures we could talk about here. I want you to see this one from Ephesians, the sixth chapter. The Apostle Paul, he recognizes this same battle. He says, finally, by the way, this is describing spiritual warfare. Finally, be strong in the Lord, verse 10, and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you may be able to stand firm against what? The schemes of the devil. It's there. That battle is there. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers. He's talking about supernatural powers here, against the powers, against world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. It's a spiritual battle that is hot and heavy and going on all around us, even as I speak right now. There's a battle going on. This battle's real. It has been going on between man and the devil and God since the creation of man. It continues to this moment and will be ours until Jesus returns or calls us home. There's a day we won't be engaging so much in this battle, not here on earth. Two, I want you to notice what the devil desires. Do you know he has a desire? He has a will for your life? He does. He desires to devour you. It says here, your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to what? To devour. Now, see, roaring lion here, that's a description of, describes who he is. Devouring describes what he does. A roaring lion, it's interesting, when lions hunt, they don't roar. No, when lions roar, they're saying, this is my territory. I'm the king of the jungle. And boy, does that describe Satan. If you think about the pride in his own heart that took him out of heaven, that pride continues to this day. He's so proud that he entered Judas to turn him against Christ, to put Christ on the cross. Now, don't think for a moment that Satan was thinking anything but, well, let's just take him out. He knew, though, the rest of the story. Jesus has said, I'm going to die. I'm going to go to the cross, but I'm going to rise again. But Satan's pride is so thick, so heavy, he can't see beyond it. And so here he is. He's described in this way. Hey, this is where I'm at. This is who I am. And then it goes there to really what he does. He prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. And you can bet in his work in your life that he doesn't say, hey, I just want you to know this is the devil speaking. And if you fall for this, or if you believe this, there's going to be great harm that comes to you. He never comes like that, does he? No, he's sneaky. He hunts. He is that kind of an adversary. He wants to devour. That's what he's doing. He's on the prowl, seeking someone to devour. He's seeking you, your adversary. That's what he does. Seeking has the idea to seek after, to look for, to strive to find. You could say he hunts. He's hunting. He is looking for someone. Your adversary seeking after you. You know a lion is a carnivore. He devours flesh. He is a predator. Predators seek their prey. They hunt. And again, who is he hunting? He's hunting Christians. And when you come to faith in Christ, you enter into that battle. Now, if you look at Ephesians 2, the first couple verses, you would discover that before we were in Christ, before we understood the gospel, that we were just doing the will of the God of this age. Now, when you're in that place, you're no problem for him. You're doing what he wants. You're not imposing his will. But when you come to faith in Christ, you step over that line and you become an enemy of his and he of you. And so it is, you'll find that believers, especially new believers, they will say, yeah, my life was a mess, but man, when I came to faith in Christ, wow, was there a battle and is it going on? Praise God. You're on the right side of this. But that's the reality, see, of what it is. And we'd like to say when we mature and we come to faith in Christ, this is done then. And I kind of just running full steam, nothing to hinder me at all, right? And that would be absolutely false. Because we have named the name of Christ, he hates Christ. Satan does. And he hates Christians. And he seeks to devour you. I have a study Bible. This is not my study Bible. I've told you this before. But right after he had this, it makes that statement in verse 8, seeking someone to devour, I've got a little note. He finds someone every day. He does. He finds Christians. You know, when a lion hunts and he comes up on a group, let's say, of animal, let's say it's water buffalo or whatever it is, you know who he's going after? He's going after the weak, after the frail, after the sick. You and I have to be so careful, because if we're not where we need to be in relationship to Christ, even when we're there, that battle's hot. But if we start to drift, to step away, I'll tell you what, you become ripe for the enemy. If you're weak in faith, you begin to question the word, and you haven't been there forever, and your prayer life is, there's nothing going on there except, a bit, hey, if I'm in trouble, help me, God. When you step in, you're drifting. Well, you are fodder for the enemy. You need to be really careful. But a predator seeks its prey. When a lion hunts, he's looking for the weak. It's not just random. And by the way, I want to say something here, too. I doubt that I have personally ever faced the devil myself. I mean, him. Now, he has all that fell with him, all those angels that bought his lie and stepped out of heaven with him, those demons, they do his bidding. The devil can't be everywhere at once, but he's got a host that come and report to him. And they go do his bidding. So to say that I've personally been right there with the devil, I doubt it. But I have been there with demonic presence, and that's a battle that goes on. Two, I don't want us ever to say this. You know, we can go too far either way here, where the devil's around every corner, or he's so powerful, everything I do wrong is his fault. When a believer sins, we do it willfully. We are told in Romans 6 that we have the power to say no to sin. So when we sin, certainly he can tempt us, all that, but it's of our own accord. When we finally say, yeah, I'm going for that, we can't say he made us do it. Certainly he's had a part in it. But we are responsible, brothers and sisters, and we have, do we not serve a risen Christ who said, all power and authority has been given unto me, therefore go? I'll remind you, he's risen. This, we will end up today, and I think you're going to understand that we do this battle from a place of victory. So, okay, I don't even know where I'm at. A lion stalks, he blends in, he moves. He's real, he's there. He seeks to ruin, he seeks to maim, he seeks to injure. Jesus said this about the devil, speaking to the religious leaders of the day, you are of your father, the devil. You want to do the desires of your father. Notice what he says about him. He was a murderer from the beginning. He does not stand in truth because there's no truth in him. When Adam and Eve fell, physical death then would be theirs. God restored that through the shedding of blood, type of what was to come and who was to come. But as a serpent, see, in the garden, he deceives. But as a lion, he devours, and he wants to ruin you. He wants to ruin your testimony. He wants to take everything good from you in your life from the Lord. He desires to destroy your testimony, your ability to serve and to stand for Jesus. That's what he desires. So there's that warning. Friend, this is real. When you put your feet on the ground this morning, you entered into a spiritual battle with the devil. You did. And so don't just set this aside. This is real stuff. We as the church are the tip of the spear in this battle. You take believers and one day we'll be gone. You take believers out of this world. You take believers out of this nation. And boy, the upheaval that will come will be something none of us would want to see. But there is a way to proceed. So I want you to get that warning, okay? Make sure you understand a real battle, a real adversary. He's your adversary, the devil. He's mine. There's a way to proceed. God calls us from the reality of this battle to proceed in such a way as to have victory. I want to say this, we are no match for the devil in and of our own. We're not. He's smarter, he's more powerful than we are in and of ourselves. But in Christ, we have the victory. As a beloved of God, we are called to respond, to take action in order to have victory. Here's the first action to take. It's this, be of sober spirit, be sober. He's not talking about being drunk here, although that wouldn't be a good place to be if you're doing battle with the enemy. It's, it has the idea of being serious about one's thinking, self-controlled. Our thinking is an area the devil attacks because he understands how critical right thinking is to the believer. It is essential. This, again, is why I'm going to direct you back to the Word, back to the Word, back to the Word. You're taking in all this stuff from the world all the time. Go back to the truth. What has God said? In his temptation of Eve in the garden, he questioned the Word. He undermined the Word. And we all know what happened there, right? And you and I are counseling ourselves all the time. I don't know if you realize that. That you are telling yourself something about whatever you're facing. You're counseling yourself. Now, there are times we get counsel from others. We ultimately must get it from the Word. But your counsel will reflect on what you're believing, what you're taking in. So be of sober spirit. This is critical. This is serious stuff we're involved in. How might we renew our mind? How might we think soberly? Romans 12:2 speaks well to that. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of your minds, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. So renew your mind, friend. Come back again. If you turn to Matthew, the 4th chapter, I won't spend a lot of time here, but this is where the devil himself tempted Jesus. Look at Matthew 4. It's really verses 1 through 11. That clock is moving too fast on me, so I got to hustle along here. You've never heard me say that, right? Jesus was tempted by the devil. And you'll notice, look at verse 1 and 2. Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And notice this, after he had fasted 40 days, 40 nights, he then became hungry. 40 days, 40 nights, Jesus has fasted. Physically, he's weak. And the tempter comes, doesn't he? Have you ever found this? That when you are perhaps in a place spiritually, emotionally, or physically where you are weak, whoa, that's a great point of temptation. It's true of me. If I'm physically spent, if I'm emotionally spent, if I'm spiritually spent, hey, somebody comes knocking on my door. But here, and I won't take time to go through it all, but verse 4 explains it well. So let me go 3 and 4. And the tempter came and said to him, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. But he said to him, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And for time's sake, every moment that Jesus was tempted there, he answered it with what? The Word of God, truth, truth. Now, you'll note in that text, Satan will even quote some scripture out of context, of course. And so we do need to know what the scripture says in the context in which it's written. But be sober. That's the point here. Be serious in your thinking. we can't just kind of float through life. And he gets to that, if you'll turn back to 1 Peter 5. The next little bit he talks about there is, if I can turn there, is to be alert. 1 Peter 5, verse 8, be of sober spirit, be on the alert. And be alert. If we don't recognize our enemy, we're especially prone to become his prey. In this word picture that Peter gives, we're asking for trouble if we're not sober, serious, on the alert, wide awake as to what's going on around us. We are. Your enemy is real. The battle is proceeding right before you, and you are in it. We're players in this battle. We're soldiers of the cross who the devil is seeking to destroy. Let's make sure we're alert to it. Make sure we're alert to it. Again, I'm going to take you to a text that Paul talked about in 2 Corinthians 2:10 and 11 about the devil. One whom you've forgiven, he's actually speaking about someone within the fellowship there at Corinth that needed, that had been under church discipline. Immorality was involved, and it was worked through. Paul says, I forgive him. I forgive also, for indeed what I've forgiven, I have forgiven, if I've forgiven anything, I do it for your sakes in the presence of Christ. So that what? No advantage would be taken of us by Satan. For we are not ignorant of his schemes. Paul said this battle is real. We really need to understand who he is. So he's saying in a sense what Peter's saying. We're thoughtful. We're alert. About what we're thinking about Satan. We weren't ignorant about the reality of life as a believer on earth. What does he... So he goes about, and he wants to destroy. The devil knows full well he can't have your soul. Everyone in Christ is secure forever in Christ. But you can be discouraged. Your testimony can be hurt. He wants to get in your head. He wants you to think about things that and cause you to move in a wrong direction. This happened to Peter. By the way, what we're reading here is a man who's been there, done that. He has. He's done that face-to-face battle with the devil, and he's had victory. Now, there were some ups and downs and some great disappointments in his life. Jesus speaks to him in Luke 22, 31 to 34. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat. By the way, Satan can't do anything that God does not allow. He is the prince of power of this air, of the earth, of the air, and he's the ruler of this age. He is, the God of this age, but he's still under the authority of God. And Jesus says, but I have prayed for you, and I'm sorry I don't have time to chase that down a lot further. You can look at Job 1 and 2 and see some more of that. But I have prayed for you. And Jesus knows what's going on. He says, Peter, just want you to know, Satan has demanded to sift you like wheat. But I've prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And you, when once you have turned again, there's that point, Peter has said, you know what, I'll go to you to the death. I'll not betray you. I got this, Lord. But Jesus sees it differently. He knows all things. He says, once you have turned again, that's repentance. Strengthen your brothers. You could look at the last chapter of John to see how that worked out, and it was beautiful. But he said to him, Lord, with you I'm ready to go both to prison, to death. But he said, that's the Lord said, I say to you, Peter, the rooster will not crow today until you've denied me three times. Denied three times that you know me. And we know that story, right? He wants you to be proud. That's what Satan wants. When we began this little section, it calls us to humble ourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. Satan can use our pride big time. He will tempt you. He will accuse you after you've given in. He will remind you of your past failures. He'll tell you you're hopeless and helpless and beyond the grace that God provides. He will tell you that. You must bring truth to the battle. You must recognize that it is a battle and bring the truth of God's word to it. Finally, be resistant. This comes from verse 9. Resist him firm in your faith. Be resistant. Resist means to stand against. It has the idea of being steadfast. There's a clear call for every child of God and every follower of Christ to do just that. I've gathered with other Christians before. Sometimes they'll tell me, stand firm, brother, stand firm. That's what Peter is saying here. Sometimes I'll ask, I don't know if I've asked, any, I know I've asked some of you guys this. But sometimes I'll ask another believer, I'll say, how goes the battle? And people look at me and you think, what are you talking about? This is what I'm talking about. This battle. How goes the battle? There's a great battle that's raging. We're in it. We are to resist. It means to take a stand. That's an active thing to do. We can't be just like a dead fish flowing down the river, not able to resist the current at all. That can't be the believer. No, we're to take a stand. Stand fast is what God, our steadfast stand is what God calls us to. Be firm. That's what the Lord calls us to. Remember, every temptation, respond to it with truth. Every thought, is this what, am I asking, what does God think? What is his revelation? A good note for us here from James 4, 7. It's fairly simple, isn't it? Submit therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. See, make sure we're standing, we're resistant. And that, what a great promise, right? Doesn't it sound like 1 Peter 5? Submit, therefore, to God. Peter says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Resist the devil. And he, what a promise, will flee from you. That's what we're called to do. There's the victory for the Christian. And I'm just going to slide right there now to remind you of a couple truths. This is where we do battle from. Don't forget that. You know, if you're in Christ today, you will close your eyes one day, and who will you be with? The Lord. It's a thick, heavy battle. You know, I remember playing some sporting events, and you're in the middle of that game, and you're wondering, I don't know how this is going to turn out. You're tripped, you're knocked down, you get up. In Christ, we know how it's going to turn out. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We are victors. We're doing this battle from that position. Ephesians 2 says we're seated in the heavens. Chapter 3, verse 20, our citizenship is there. Romans 8, 37. By the way, Romans 8, you guys need to know Romans 8, right? Starts with no condemnation, ends with no separation. In the middle of that thing, all packed in between, is just sweet stuff for the believer. Here it is. In all these things we what? Overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us, through Christ. We do it from there. But listen, be warned, it is a real battle. It's a real battle. We're in a real battle. As soldiers, this is serious stuff. The enemy's got a plan for your life. He wants you on the menu. You must resist him. You must be alert. You must be sober. That's our part. I'll finish with this. Kind of the wrap up here, right? Stand firm on the word as you resist the devil, because truth is our greatest weapon. You know what's happening in churches all across America? Sliding away from the word. And history will reveal that this is just a great ploy of the enemy. And I've noted Christian colleges, Christian institutions over the years, and you know they become powerless when they slide away from the Word. And they say, "We got to catch up with the times, right?" Well, I'll tell you what we studied here is right in the middle of the times we live in. But you know what's true of Christian colleges and institutions is also true of you and I. We must not move from the revelation that God has before us. We always have to come back to that. That's going to take some humility. One of the hardest things to do. When we started this, before we cast our care, we're to humble ourselves before God. Before we're to be exalted, we're to humble ourselves before God. We're warned. You have an adversary, the devil. He goes around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. That's his will for your life. We're called to resist. It takes humility to resist, to say, okay, God, that's your word. I'm going there. That's what God calls us to. That's a safe place to be. I would ask you today that you might consider that. Am I really getting before God and saying, your word is powerful, it's true. I know it's not saying what everybody else is saying, but it's the right thing. And I want to stand there. I want that to impact my thinking and my doing. I pray it would be so. Let's pray. Loving Father, this is a real battle. You know, you've given us help in it. You have described it. And Father, we're in the middle of it as your children, as beloved children who one day will stand in your presence in a perfect righteousness given to us by Jesus Christ. Not something we earned, not something we bought, is an act of your grace. Thank you for allowing us in the Word to see that we're sinners, we need to be saved. Thank you for allowing us to see that the best we can do is fall short, no matter what our past, our religion, no matter what our works are, we still fall way short. Thank you for letting us see that. Thank you for letting us see Jesus, who died, who rose again in triumph over Satan, hell, and sin. Thank you that you've declared to us that through faith in him, we have everlasting life. We can simply humble ourselves and trust him as Savior, and in this moment in time be saved. Thank you for that. We give you praise. We give you honor. Thank you as well that you desire to grow us, to use us, to empower us, to be what we need to be. And thank you in that battle that you've laid it out and you've made it clear. You haven't disguised what we're up against. You've given us victory as we look to you, as we are sober in spirit, as we stand firm in the faith, as we resist and stand. Father, may that be us. Those areas in our life that we have compromised, we're saying, it doesn't really matter. Everybody's doing it. I pray we'll look at that through the revelation of your word. Father, protect your people. May you use them powerfully in the places you put them for your glory and for the name of our Lord to proclaim the gospel in Jesus' name. Amen.